This is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey, guys. This is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood,
ball's going to bounce down. It's free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock on Wednesday night, March 6th, 2019. This is the Unused Substitutes, live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network, and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. Your weekly dose of the green and gold gospel, your hour-long version of Rowdy's Talk Radio. My name is Matt, and joining me is a guy who definitely deserves more, Dan. Dan, how's it going?
Just dandy.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah,
just
see?
Dandy. Very clever. We have this is a big episode.
This episode is a big episode.
We got a lot of stuff tonight. I mean, there's bigger episodes coming. You know, we're almost at number 200.
Are we really?
This is like 194 or 195.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right. Hey, did you get that that voicemail I sent you?
Yes, I have it.
Okay. Do you know what it is?
Nope.
All right. I will say I'm impressed and I'm pleased that I only had to edit one slight part of it, 3/4 of a second. So last night was the finale of the She Believes Cup up in Tampa. I had tickets to go, and as usual, when I try to make plans, life conspires against me. My wife and daughter came home sick from Daytona last weekend. We have tickets for Hamilton this Saturday, so I've been preemptively taking Tylenol severe cold and flu so it says not to get sick because it's the last weekend. And I told my wife I love her, but if she gets me sick, then it's over. But they've like she today's the first day she's been out of bed since they got back at like 9:30 Sunday night. So I stayed home and took care of got dinner and did everything else around the house. So I couldn't make it up to the game. I gave my tickets to a friend of ours.
I saw that part.
Okay. She checked in with the little post game recap. And since I wasn't there to talk about the game last night, I let her do it in my place. You don't happen to have that like handy, do you? Is it like ready?
Yeah, I can hit play any moment.
Let's lead off. She has not. I don't believe her voice has been on the show since that episode from Rowdy's Den way back when.
Yeah,
like back in the old days. So a returning voice. Our good buddy, who now lives like, you know, not too far from me. She's down in Sarasota now. Our friend Samantha, who was at Raymond James last night for the game. Samantha, I'm going to pretend like I'm talking to a person, not a voicemail. Tell us about last night.
Gentlemen, it is Samantha. I am just leaving the She Believes Cup doubleheader in Tampa, where I did not see Ryan Sudahl or get to make fun of him whatsoever, and I have a problem with this. I did bump into Ian, which is great. However, let's talk about that game. Now, I don't have as much of a problem with the refs as some of us do, but they were in full force tonight. Apparently, it's okay for Brazil to foul everybody, but as soon as we have the ball, doesn't matter what happens, we foul. Even if we're scoring the ball, we foul. How is that possible? I don't know. Ask Megan Rapinoe. It happened to her. She scored a goal. But it didn't count. I don't know why. I'm still angry about that. But Team Heckle was in full force. I need you to understand that. I was there for you. But my mother was there, so I had to behave. That being said, I miss you guys. I love you. I'll see you soon. Bye.
That's a new record for fewest F-bombs she's dropped on the show.
Yeah, I'm impressed that it was just one.
So the best part of all is, I don't know if you saw me tweet this last night. We have a Google Voice number set up that I use for the voicemails. And it does like a transcription and sends you an email. Like, you've got a message. Here's what it is. You can read it. You can listen to it. The transcription software is still, let's say, in development. So in the beginning, she mentioned that she didn't see Ryan Sudol. In the email, it says that she did not see Ryan Poodle.
I mean,
and I'm never letting go of that.
We need Tifo of Ryan in as a poodle.
A poodle with Ryan's head talking into a microphone.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
Exactly.
We have to make this happen. So that was one of the games that went on locally. But there was another one last weekend. The last Rowdies preseason game, Rowdies at USF up in Tampa. You went to this, didn't you?
No, I did not go to the Tampa game. I thought you were there. No, I was going to go, and then I just had a very weird, exhausting, stressful work week. And I decided to stay home and follow via the Twitter machine, and that was it.
Speaking of that, on that note, I know you're waiting to hear the update. I did actually have light in my classroom today.
That's good. I'm glad that you're able to teach in the 19th century now.
Right. They actually have basically a giant extension cord connecting our campus to the elementary school behind us so that we have electricity while they still work on the power problems.
I feel like that's...
Oh, and today another water line broke.
Yeah, this doesn't sound up to code.
I mean, yeah, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so Rowdies won 2-1. I think USF scored first. Rowdies came back 2 goals to take the finale. Ended up, 5-2-1 on the preseason? 5 wins, 2 losses and a draw?
Yes.
Not terrible.
So.
I mean, I don't know there were a bunch of games that were closed door. There were, games on the road in Georgia. There was, shuffled lineups, people playing out of position to see, I don't know what to take, or even if you can take anything from the preseason. Neil's going to talk about it in a little bit. We're going to have Jake talk to Neil Collins. If you're listening, you probably are aware who Neil is. About the preseason experience and kind of what he was looking for and what he thinks the team got out of it overall. And we'll play that. So I don't want to step on his toes too much for that, because he's a lot better at talking about it than we are. And he has a better accent, at least, too. But we get to do – well, that's it for games that have been played. But we actually get to do a preview of a regular season game. This is my favorite part of the year, is like the getting to do this stuff again. We actually have stuff to talk about, finally.
It's hard because preseason means nothing. It's an expansion team, and I have no idea anything about them.
Right, so, yeah. Plus side, we get to talk about another team for once. Maybe not the silver lining side. this is their first ever game. We literally know nothing about it. Jake talks to Neil about that too, and it's interesting what he has to say. So I managed to dig up some alternate points of interest, I guess, for this game. So this Saturday, the Rowdies travel to Memphis to take on Memphis 901 FC, or as I like to refer to them, Memphis Westworld FC, because their crest kind of looks like the maze from Westworld. Have you watched that series yet?
I haven't finished season two, but season one was one of the best seasons of television I've ever watched.
So you know the maze then?
Yeah.
Do you see the resemblance at least?
No, I never actually noticed it, but I'll look at
like
their
the middle of the crest, just kind of the middle of like the it's supposed to be, I guess, like the record for representing Memphis's music industry. Like, I see that, and I'm just like, it's the maze kind of. I did a little Photoshop. I gotta pull it up. I'll show it to you again later. So what I'm gonna look at with the preview is the connections, like kind of the local connections, because there's kind of a lot. Starting with ownership, Tim Howard is one of the co-owners. His mom lives in, it's either St. Peter, Clearwater, I believe. So we're going to count that as a local connection. And I didn't know this part. I was reading this last night when I was putting this together. The same ownership group that owns Memphis 901, and they also own a minor league baseball team in Charleston. I think they own the same one in Memphis also. They're placed in the same stadium. But they also own or recently purchased a controlling interest in Dagenham and Redbridge, a lower division club in England. I've heard the name before, but I don't know a whole lot about them other than that.
They like, are they even in a, like, are they non-league or whatever, like association or something?
Well, let's do a little live Googling while we're here, because I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I just know I've heard the name before.
Yeah, I knew the name when I was playing like Football Manager mobile on my tablet in 2014. I think I picked it.
They are currently, you're going to like this. They are currently 15th place in Conference Premier, which is, let's see if I can find the equivalent is. We have a bigger stadium. The team plays in the National League, the fifth league of the English Football League system, and are nicknamed the Daggers. So they are listed as being owned by Tim Howard. Their manager, and this is going to make you stop and think for a second, Peter Taylor. Not that Peter Taylor.
Well, no, I wouldn't think so.
Because, you know, he's like dead and stuff.
Yeah.
Wonder if he's related. Peter John Taylor, born January 3rd, 1953, retired footballer who is manager of National League club Dagenham and Redbridge. So we know they don't have the designated hitter because they're National League. Has been the manager of Dartford, Southend United, Dover Athletic, Leicester City, Brighton and Hove Albion, Hull City, Crystal Palace, Kerala Blasters, Stevenage Borough, Wycombe Wanderers, Bradford City, and Gillingham twice. He also had two spells as head coach of England U21s and was in charge of the England national team for one game against Italy, where he made David Beckham captain.
Weird.
Outside England, he was the head coach of the Bahrain national football team as well. He's played for a ton of teams. Wow. I'm trying to see if there's, like, I'm wondering if this is like his son or something.
Yeah, he'd probably be a junior at that point.
Yeah, it might be like, it just might be a coincidence. It's too kind of,
and it's a comment.
There's like nothing listed about his family anywhere, so I'm going to assume not. But I just saw that pop up on Wikipedia, and I was like, well, that's interesting. They cloned him. They brought him back to life. What's the story here? Club was formed in 1992 through a merger between Redbridge Forest. Like, sometimes it's hard to tell whether it's an English football team or like a venture capital firm. Redbridge Forest itself being the result of mergers between Ilford, Leytonstone, and Walthamstow Avenue.
No,
those
idea.
Are like those are like, you know, men's like clothing stores. Is what they sound like.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, have you seen lower level English football? They're probably playing in like bad men's warehouse.
Oh, wait, now this. Now, this says 2017, 2018, they were in National League. They might be even lower. They might be down in the sixth tier now. Because the other thing I saw, let's see, football conference. We're spending a whole lot of time on the lower division system in England for a Rowdy's podcast.
Yeah, this is, we're doing too deep of a dive. This isn't even a connection to us right now. This is as far from us as you can be.
This is somehow related to Tim Howard's mom, and this sounds like I'm taking making a joke about her or something. All right, so we've got Tim Howard, who has some local connections. He does some like goalkeeper camps and stuff down here, and he's done them out at Premier and Lakewood Ranch. Memphis's head coach, the guy named Tim Mulqueen. He's held a number of positions. Most recently was the U.S. Men's goalkeeper coach. Like when Tim Howard was the keeper, that was his coach, which is probably didn't hurt in helping him get the job. Mulqueen lives in Bradenton. So before he went to Memphis, he was actually working as Orlando City's goalkeeper coach. And before he did that, but after he'd left the men's national team, he was also the head basketball coach and an associate athletic director at a pretty big private school here in Bradenton, which is kind of an odd place. But he was just happened to be here. Both his kids and his like they still live here because both of his kids. I think one kid just graduated and one's still in school down here. So more connections to the Skyway side. Wesley Charpy's on the roster. Wesley Charpy from Tarpon Springs played at USF in his college career. And Morgan Hackworth, son of John Hackworth, the Louisville coach, and also had a season, I guess, with was that when it was Rowdy's 2 or U23? I think it was Rowdy's 2.
Yeah, I don't pay too much attention to the rebrand or really the squad.
So he's the son of Louisville head coach, noted Rowdy super fan, John Hackworth. Other notable names you might know, their assistant coach, Ben Perman is, and I think I'm saying that right, was the former head coach of Detroit City FC. For you guys who follow Detroit City probably recognize his name. A guy by the name of Adam Najem, David's brother. So we could have a brother-brother matchup on day one. Junior Sandoval, former Atlanta Silverbacks, Jax Armada, Fort Lauderdale Strikers player, and probably their most experienced player, guy's like 34. His name is Mark Birch. He's played for the Galaxy, Columbus Crew, DC United, Seattle Sounders, Colorado, and Minnesota United, and is now in Memphis. Cincinnati native who was not signed by Cincinnati, so I'm sure he's feeling the love from his hometown right now.
I'm sure he's glad he's not there right now.
I mean, I'm sure he's glad he wasn't there last weekend. They play in AutoZone Park, which is, as you probably would guess maybe from the name, it sounds like a minor league baseball stadium because it is. Capacity of 10,000. The pitch dimensions, 110 by 70, which is pretty close to what the Rowdies play on at Al Lang. And this is how deep of a dive I went into this because there's no other information really on expansion teams. The turf is Tifway 419 Bermuda grass, which I tried digging around. I know they put down new grass at Al Lang, you know, when they tore up the turf and kind of leveled it out. But the last time I found anything that was specific about the type of grass, and maybe our buddy Ben can help out with this, they put down Celebration Bermuda grass when Ricky Hill was still the head coach, by the way. Yesterday was Ricky's birthday. Happy birthday, Ricky. I don't know if they've changed the type of grass they're using, but if it's still the Celebration, it's pretty similar. I think it's supposed to be a little bit better than the grass they're playing there, but they are playing, even though it's going to be on the road, it's going to be, in a minor league baseball stadium, which, I don't know, maybe it'll at least kind of look the same in some parts to the players. I mean, a lot of these guys haven't played at Al Lang to begin with anyway, cause they're new. But surface is similar. Pitch dimensions are similar. The referee that's in charge I meant to put this in the notes, and I think I forgot to do that. The referee in charge has refereed one Rowdies game in the past, back in 2016 at it was a Cosmos game. Heineman scored in the first like 20 minutes and then came off injured before the first half ended. Cosmos scored two goals before halftime, and the rest of the game played out that way. So it's an encouraging sign that it was a game where the Rowdies had the lead in New York and there were no red cards or penalties given. Only one yellow card to the Rowdies the entire time. So this guy seems like he might be okay. We'll find out. As far as the linesman and the fourth official, they've been around USL for a little while. I couldn't find any direct, I'm sure they've worked Rowdies games before, but I couldn't find any specific ones. So overall, you know, I don't know a ton of their other players. They just got a guy on loan from Cincinnati. They've got a pretty small roster. Like when I looked online, they were listing like 19 players after getting this guy on loan, but then their website had like, I think one or two more. So I don't know if they're going to have any more signings or get any more guys on loan between now and Saturday, but not a giant roster to start out with.
I mean, do you really need one? You need what, like 18 to start?
18, 19, with 11 and then 8 on the bench.
Yeah.
So 19. Yeah, I mean, they were right there. Again, like I said, going through the roster, other than those couple names that I pulled out, I'm not very familiar with a lot of guys on the roster. I put it in here to make predictions, but I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know us enough to make a prediction, let alone this other team with a bunch of guys I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be a 3-1 Rowdies win.
Yeah, I'm not going to let my lack of knowledge prevent me from making a prediction, as usual. I'm going to go 2-1. 2-1 Rowdies.
We seem to do the three goals on the away openers quite frequently, so I'm going to go with it.
We got to stay on brand, right?
Exactly.
If you're not going to Memphis, and I haven't personally heard from anybody who definitely is, there are some watch parties set up. Rouse Mob has one in Tampa at Wild Rover Brewery, one in St. Pete at Jimmy's Sports Bar. Skyway Casuals will have theirs down here in Sarasota as usual at Shamrock Pub, and I'll be checking my phone at intermission of Hamilton.
I will be watching with friends.
You're actually just going to be watching Friends, aren't you?
Probably.
Yeah.
No one.
The one where they go to the Rowdies game.
I mean,
you need to watch these series so you can get the references when I make them on
Twitter.
I've
Friends. I know Friends.
How did you not know the Seinfeld Risk episode? I mean, come on. It's Seinfeld, first of all.
I am not a Seinfeld fan.
Wait, what?
I am not a Seinfeld fan. I know our friend Goose will be very upset.
I mean, it's not like they drive fast cars and drink Coronas. Like, what do you have against Seinfeld?
It's literally a show about nothing.
I know. It's fantastic.
It wasn't that entertaining to me.
I mean, and I could do without the very last episode because I think that was a crappy way to end the series, but I was a big fan of it.
I mean, it didn't age well. When I went back to actually watch it again, like Friends, it was just really bad.
Oh, there's some classic episodes, though. Mm. But I did kind of like that. I'd be interested in doing that same thing with USL. Well, actually, I'd be interested in seeing somebody else do it, rather than researching which teams are closest in different counties. But I like the idea of MLS Risk.
Yeah, it was. That map thing was pretty epic. I liked it.
All right. So next thing I had up in the notes was I was going to do a season ticket holder unboxing. But I'll be honest, I got home and I knew it was here and I didn't want to wait. So I have already opened it, wearing my season ticket holder scarf. Nice start. Got my tickets in this nifty llama. The actual tickets, the ticket package, like the physical tickets themselves look very similar to years past. Nice little Together Rowdies cover on it. You want me to break down who's on the tickets?
No, I don't think we need to go that in depth.
Are you sure? I mean,
yeah.
These guys look excited.
It's already 25 after, and I don't know how long the Neil interview is.
Like 20, 23 minutes, something like that. I will say, the first ticket, first home game, the game closest to my birthday, Dom Oduro is on the ticket. He's number 18. My birthday's on the 18th, so I'm going to take that as a good sign. Let's see. Anything else interesting? We'll go through some of these later, though. All right, so do we want to go straight to the Neil Collins interview now?
Yeah, might as well.
All right. So Jake talked to Neil, what, yesterday?
Yes, I believe so.
I think so. Asked him some questions about preseason, about the season coming up ahead. I will, spoiler alert, Neil says I'm a great guy. I won't talk about the context in which he says this, but he does say I'm a great guy, and who am I to argue with Neil? So go ahead and let's play the interview, and we'll come back, and we still have to do the special announcement, don't we?
Yep.
Ooh, this is going to be good. All right, so here's Jake and Neil.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely appreciate you taking time. I know this is a very busy week for you, I'm sure, as every week is busy for you.
No, yeah, it's a pleasure, Jake, to speak to you, so it's not a problem at all.
So now that we're a few days away from the season starting, I wonder if you could look back to the start of this process of this off season, and when you looked at the job ahead of you and what you wanted to achieve and what you wanted to build, and how you're feeling about how everything went now that you're only a few days out from the preseason, the regular season.
So I think the way the season ended was disappointing. It was disappointing for everyone. I think we started to look like a much better outfit, and I thought heading to Atlanta that you know, we had a great opportunity of still making the playoffs. That was a really disappointing night to play the way we did, and then to ultimately draw the game. Really kind of took the wind out of ourselves. So one comes through that night, giving ourselves two games to try and get into the playoffs. What I think it did help me do was it made things quite blatantly obvious about how much change was needed. I think if we'd made the playoffs, it could have masked a couple of things, and certainly the last couple of games. You know, while there was certainly good parts in the performances, the results ultimately were disappointing, and I think that really gave us a real clear sense of what changes we needed to make. So I wouldn't say it was a daunting task, you know, having to sign so many players, but it certainly was something that we spent a lot of time and effort over as our backroom staff. And I think we set out quite clear criteria of what we were looking for. We spent a lot of time going through that, and video and research and all things like that. And I think after a lot of hard work and a lot of long days, we've managed to sign 24 players that I think will give us a really good foundation, not just for this season, but for the coming seasons, you know, to build, you know, what we want to the Rowdies, and that ultimately is a successful team that the fans can be proud of. And I think it's important that, as pleased as we are with the recruitment, that it's not going to happen overnight. You know, these pieces need to be given time. They're human beings. It's not Championship Manager on the computer. You know, they've all come from all over, and they're just making relationships, you know, on and off the field, and they've taken everything on board that we want so far, but the real stuff starts this Saturday, and then that's when you really start testing these relationships and testing partnerships on the field. So, but we're definitely excited about where we've managed to get to in terms of the players that we've brought in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you say that the real test starts this Saturday. I think we'd all agree with you, but I'm just curious then, because you guys played 8 preseason games, and it's just not the same environment as the actual season. So what then, personally for you, I mean, what do you look for in the preseason, those matches, and what do you hope to take away from and learn from those matches?
So we played eight games, which was a lot, because we had such a high turnover, and we just felt that it was important that our squad as a whole got enough matches. You know, I think in the past you've had a couple of players that, you know, maybe 6 or 7 players that have got one or two 90 minutes, and then other players have been left short, and then before you know it, they're called upon, and they've not even had a 90 minutes in pre-season. I think we've managed to see a lot of players, you know, play, you know, two or three, you know, over 70 minutes. So, you know, everyone's match fit, everyone's ready to go. There's maybe only high-intensity teams, such as the G-Rushes, that's, like, you know, not managed to play as many minutes. I think in these games we look for a number of things. I think we look for our fitness first and foremost. And we look to win, try and win every game. You know, that's always important. And then we're just looking at each aspect that we've been working on at that specific time and just building up. I think the MLS games give you a really stiff opposition. You look at other games, you know, maybe college teams where you can work more on your attacking patterns of play, different aspects. And then, like, the Tormenta trip was at the end of a really tough week where we played two MLS games and travelling, and that was definitely a mental test. And playing on the Saturday and the Sunday, that was a different type of test. And it means that we can learn more about the player's character. So there's a lot of different things go into the pre-season, and ultimately, you know, again, pre-season games, you can learn so much, but it's, as we just spoke about, the real season's where you learn the most. But again, pre-season is the best and only way that you can prepare for what's to come.
Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think about it, and I couldn't think of an example of the Rowdies taking a player on loan, I mean, for the past 2 years. I'd have to think years, like maybe Bill Edwards' first year in charge, if that, maybe. I was trying to think about it. And so this year you've got two guys, Caleb Richards and Jordan Doherty, on loan from England. I mean, first off, I mean, how what have you made of their performance in the camp so far? And I mean, how important is do you think it is, like, for the Rowdies to, you know, explore those different avenues of acquiring players, you know, looking for loans, younger guys, I mean, all that stuff, as an option to bring in players and build your roster?
So one of the first things that you spoke about, you know, before the end of last season, was that our recruitment in some respects has been limited. You know, we've focused in certain markets, which is fine. In my opinion, there have been teams in this league that have achieved more than us, and you look at the recruitment, and they've recruited far and wide. They've really, you know, they've really searched, left no stone unturned. I felt it was important that we did the same, especially being Tampa Bay Rowdies, with the contacts that we have, and the contacts that the staff's got. And then just to try and, if you've got a wider talent pool, you've got a much bigger chance of finding more talent. I feel that the English players that are not quite breaking into maybe the first teams there are players that would be suited to this league. And as are other players, if you look at recruitment, people like Mo, Hamid Kony, is someone that came from a totally different environment. But we've just spent time and assessed all these players on their merit, each on their own merits, on their technical skills, but also on their previous career history and potential and all these things. And Jordan and Caleb, we just felt ticked all the boxes to be part of our squad going into the season. And I think Jake is important. Again, we're trying to build something here for not just one season, but for long seasons to come. And, you know, if we're going to find out if that's going to work in terms of having these relationships with English clubs and players coming over, we need to actually, you know, dip our toes in the water and test it. And so far, we're just so happy with the two of the lads who came in. I think both being here together helps. You know, they stay together, they spend time together, you know, so they've got a lot in common. They've fitted in really well with the lads. And then, most importantly, they're really good football players that can play a lot of different positions. And I think that they're going to be important parts of our team this year moving forward. So we'll find out at the end of the year just how successful, you know, that's been. But certainly right now, we're delighted that we made those two signings.
Yeah, you
and I think, on top of that, I should thank both the clubs, which Sheffield United and Norwich City, the fact that they both see Tampa Bay Rowdies as a club like befitting two young players that they've got high hopes for, I think, said it all. We've been offered other players from other clubs in England, and that's something that we'll look to pursue in the future, should everything go well this year.
Yeah, I mean, taking on guys like that in from leagues of their caliber. I mean, if obviously things go well, I mean, that builds a reputation for the Rowdies as a place, a destination for younger guys to come and, you know, build a career.
That's right. And that, and again, for me, you look at the mentality of these two guys. They're young and they're hungry. They've traveled halfway across the world to try and, you know, to try and better themselves, to try and learn, to try and improve their careers. It says a lot about their character, and I think you're right. That's what we want the Rowdies to be renowned for, along with being a successful team, but as well, a place that top young talent can come and develop.
You mentioned before about having an eye towards guys for the future that'll be at the club for years. I talked to Dom Maduro last week, and I think a lot of fans would identify him as someone who was really a highlight from last year and really represents a lot of what they hope to see the club do going forward about identifying younger guys with something to prove. I mean, what are you expecting and hoping to get out of Dom as he builds on the momentum from last year?
So I think Dom came in and was a real highlight of last season. I'd have been concerned if we hadn't had Dom for those last 15 games. I think he was real, you know, a real important piece of our team, and he's going to be a real important piece this year. The biggest thing for us is to keep pushing Dom to try and improve and get better and fulfill his potential. And that's a job of the coaching staff, and it's also the job of Dom to keep pushing himself. But it's good to know that the fans are taken to Dom, and just as we have as a club, you know, we're delighted to have him. And again, he epitomises everything we want, you know, young, hungry, talented, and eager to learn.
So a lot was made about Poku coming into the team last summer. Obviously, the team falls short of its goal of making the postseason. He doesn't necessarily have the output that a lot of people were hoping for. What sort of conversation did you have with Poku this offseason about going to a follow-up year with the Rowdies?
I think you know, Poku probably went away, same as ourselves, disappointed at the end of the season. It was a big disappointment. I think we made it quite clear to the lads coming back, you know, by how we worked and what we did, about how we were going to approach this season. And Poku came back, and he's worked hard during pre-season, and you can see, I'm sure, from our signings that we've got a lot more competition in the midfield now than we maybe had last season. And it will just be like everyone, we've got fierce competition right now trying to win starting spots for next year. And, you know, he's fighting just like anyone else to try and be part of the team. We know what Poku's strengths are when he's at his best. I thought he played excellently well in the two MLS games here, and he scored a good goal against USF at the weekend. And I think it's important that we have a squad with people that can do different things and offer us different solutions. And that's why we've went and signed the players we've had, so that we're not one-dimensional and not just expecting Poker to get the ball and dribble past everyone, because that's just too easy to stop. So we're hoping that we can come at teams from different angles. And again, it's up to us to find the best way to put these pieces together.
Now you guys had some guests in training for camp, several players from Tampa Bay United, I believe. So I'm just curious what you thought of that, how that experiment went for you guys, and how it's an example of the further integration of the senior team and the academy players that you want to see.
Yeah, for me, I think, like I've said this before, I think we've got a duty of care as the professional club in the Tampa Bay area, is to try and identify the top talent, and then to try and bring that top talent in so that they're part of the team with the Rowdies, to try and enhance them as players, and then also to give us an opportunity to look at them and to see if they're players that we'd be excited to work with in the future. The three players that we had in were a huge help to us in terms of giving us more numbers for pre-season games, and also the fact that they're good players and they performed very well. Again, I just think it's a sign that as a club we want to be in that role of, you know, young players that are, you know, top talents, and we have a lot of it in Tampa, not just at Tampa Bay United, but a lot of other clubs. And that, you know, we are not just looking at Tampa Bay United players, we're looking at across the board, because again, there is top top players in Florida, and in particular Tampa, and we again want them to feel this a sense of kind of desire to be part of the Rowdies. And then again, the three boys that came in, they all did really well in different aspects, and we just hope that's a long term relationship starting with young players in this area. And it's, you know, it's nothing really, because we benefited it as much as hopefully they benefited from it. But I think it's just, again, it's just our duty of care, and it's something that we want to get better and better at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a different thing about Tampa Bay. I mean, it's such a large region with so many youth players and so many different academy clubs. It's like there's a lot to focus on. I mean, that's a good problem to have when there's so much talent to pull from and look at.
Of course, and to be honest, we've maybe burned a couple of bridges in the past for different reasons, and that we've got to try and rebuild and show that we do have a serious interest in the young talent. My first and foremost job is to try and put together a winning team, you know, senior team. But I think it would be remiss of me to not just completely ignore that side of things. And it's something that we've got Luis Cattell working on hard in the background, and he's doing a lot of hard work to try and to build these relationships and to show that we are here and we are trying to help and show a pathway to professional soccer. So again, yes, there's a lot of talent out there, and it's just time for us to start finding it and then nurture it.
Yeah, so much has been made about sort of the youth movement of the Rowdies this offseason, you know, going younger and all that. But I mean, you mentioned that first and foremost, it's still about winning on the field. And I mean, can you talk about finding that balance between looking at the younger guys, but also guys with some experience who have a lot of value to offer from either past experience or as leadership on the field?
You know, we went down a different route, and I think it's important. You know, we have got some very experienced players, but experience doesn't always necessarily equate with age. Experience to me is appearances at professional soccer. Like Jan Ekker is only 28, which I think is a good age, but he's one of the most experienced players in the league. You know, Seba Gwanzati and Neil Fernandez have still got huge potential, but they're both experienced players at this league, so we do have experience. It's just not the experience that perhaps myself, Joe, Matt Pickens, Marcel Schaefer, Georgie have still had. But if you look at any team that's been successful at this level in the past, they've had continuity. They've had continuity with 24, 25, 26-year-olds that have been in the team for 2 or 3 years. So we've got guys in here that we hope to have at the club and to build a foundation with, so that as a team we can just become better and better and better. And these guys can grow with the team and still be at a good age that we can use them. And again, I think that you can't build anything on sand. And you know, it's great to try and put together a team that just wins for one season. We want to try and put together a team that, again, the fans can be proud of, but also one that they can really get to know. We don't want to have an off season that we've had this last one, where we've had to go and effectively sign 21 players. You know, eight of them are Turners, but those are the ones that we still had to negotiate with, talk new contracts with. So we don't want to be in that situation. We want to be adding maybe 5 or 6 every year, you know, give or take a couple, and then just building on that and building on the kind of strong spine of good, young, experienced players.
Now, looking to Saturday a little bit, you're going up against an expansion team in Memphis. It'll be their first match ever. I mean, can you talk about like the challenge of preparing for a match that'll be your opponent's first ever?
Yep. Yeah, a major challenge, Jake. Absolute major challenge. They've done a really stellar job in hiding all sorts of information from us. They've played one open game, really, that we could maybe attend, and that was against St. Louis. They've just played behind closed door games. They've not really, you know, filtered too much information out into social media. And we know some of their individual players, but again, very, very tough. We don't know a lot about their style, tactics, about the makeup of their team. But again, first game of the season, that could be said for a lot of teams. The expansion team just makes it a tad more difficult. We are really, really going to try and focus very hard on our role in the game and what we can do. And if we do that well, we should still have a great opportunity.
So looking at the Eastern Conference as a whole, I mean, what do you make of the conference this year and the competition that you'll be facing? I mean, there's, as is the case with lower division soccer in a lot of years, there's some turnover. Some teams are new to the conference, and there's some teams who left the conference. So what do you make of the competition this year?
I mean, I'll be honest, I think anyone that follows ESL or NESL, the league's just getting stronger and stronger every year. Standard this year is as high as it's ever been. Probably the highest, I think. St. Louis and Swope Park coming in, the loss of Toronto 2 and Richmond. I mean, the league just is really becoming so strong. I'd be very surprised again this year if the winner doesn't come from the East. You know, they've dominated, and that's for a good reason because the competition's so high. Then the race for the playoffs is going to be fierce. And you look at teams like Nashville and Indy, and you know what they went and done with their squads and everyone else alongside them as well, because there's so many good players out there right now, and more good players becoming available all the time. So I think it's going to be a really, really competitive league, and one that will be really good for the fans, you know, one that will be exciting. So we're under no illusion how tough it's going to be, but we're definitely looking forward to the challenge.
So I've got a very serious question for you. My friend Matt, who is, you know, is a yes. Liverpool fan, and he wants to know if Man United is going to give his guys an assist and take out Man City to help Liverpool get the title this year.
You know, Matt's a great guy. I really have a lot of time for him, but unfortunately, you know, I'm split. But if someone was to push me, I think we're not going to do Liverpool any favours. You know, I think we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait a few more years, hopefully, to get their hands on the title.
I will relay that message. Please, don't be disappointed, but I'll relay it.
Yeah, please do. It's kind of unfortunately, I can't do much about it. But if I could, that's what I would do. I'd try and make sure that Liverpool spends more years in agony.
Yeah, I'll do that. All right, Neil. Again, thanks for your time, and best of luck this weekend. Hopefully, it's a good start to also to exercise the road woes that the Rowdies have had this year. You guys get off to a good start and then bring it back home to Al Lang.
I hope so, Jay. I hope so. I think the big thing, again, just reiterate, is that there's going to be plenty of ups and downs as always, but I think we've got a good, solid plan in place that I think, again, given the right amount of time, we'll get something that, you know, you and the fellow Rowdies fans will be able to really enjoy and get behind and hopefully get entertained by. So we're always excited as you are for the upcoming season.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. I was telling the guys the other day that the exciting thing about this year is that it's so much of the Rowdies are an unknown. I mean, we got to see you in charge last year, but now you've had a whole preseason to kind of build the team you want to build, and there's so many new guys that we just don't know what to expect. So it's kind of an exciting thing to just be surprised by what's to come.
That's right, and I'm sure that even me and my staff will be surprised at times, because I think you find out most of the players, once you get them in, and maybe alongside other players, the relationships spark that you didn't expect. I think one of our biggest surprises is actually what Juan Tejada is, a player that's like surprised us all, and I think in a good way, you know, and someone that I think fans really grow to love, and that's kind of what we want, is people that kind of like Dominic Aduro last year, and kind of people like Pat Buikiti, people that we go and become fans' favourites, but, you know, surprisingly, you know, not maybe big names that you're used to, but kind of little known names that you can kind of grow to love from the way they play.
Looking forward to it, definitely. All right, Neil, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your time, Jay. All the best. Bye.
And we're back.
So I think the important takeaway is that I'm a good guy.
I didn't hear that part. Sorry, I went to get a drink.
I can tell you the time in the audio if you want to go back and just play that part again.
I was here. I got distracted by something. Sorry. I should probably close my computer screen. And Neil is probably one of my favorite interviews every time he's on. He doesn't hold back.
No. I mean, one of the things we talked about, I remember being at the beginning of last year was, you know, did we really have enough of a preseason? And Neil like comes out and says, like, you know, I just didn't feel like we had enough time last year or in some previous years for everyone to get to the level they need to be at on day one. And you know, we've seen last year and we've seen previous years this kind of tendency towards slow starts. Hopefully it's not going to be a thing this year.
Neil, towards the end of last year, made a couple comments about the lack of preseason, like offhand, like hinted at it about how, you know, he was there as a player and that's why we're seeing tired legs, that they weren't, they weren't trained properly or they didn't train
right.
properly early, blah, 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 blah. So I'm not surprised that we had a full solid preseason this year. I did like Jake's question about Dom Maduro and Neil's response. I like, it seems to be a common thread amongst Neil's signings and stuff that he said it in different ways for several different players about helping these players reach their potential, and these players are already really great and he thinks that they can work to make them better, and like it's I like that outlook that he's here to work with them and to teach and the players, but the players also have to put in some work.
Yeah, as a somehow professional educator myself, like I kind of like that point of view.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Speaking of Dom Maduro, I was going to mention this. Like, you know, first of all, again, shout out to Jake's two weeks in a row bringing some good stuff to the show with the Steinberger interview last week and the Tejada article. He also talked to Dom Maduro. That article's up on the website. And Dom even says, you know, like it wasn't announced right away, but he always knew he was coming back, that Neil was calling him, talking to him about what he wanted to do, how he wanted to play, like how he wanted him to change. He wanted to get, you know, a little bit maybe more involved in the attack. And then, you know, he's excited about the way that the vision that Neil put out there. So if you get a chance, go and do that. And I mean, check that article out. And again, thank you to Jake. Bringing some good stuff so far this year.
He's really raised his game. I feel like we've worked with him to fulfill that potential and, you know, bring out the best, and he's putting in the work. And I like what we see so far, and hopefully that continues going forward.
You know, we've had a vision for Jake. He's got his legs under him. He's fit and ready to go for the beginning of the season. I think he's a talented guy, brings a lot to the team. And we're looking to help him reach that potential and you know, move forward. Did we hit all the cliches there?
I think so.
I mean, he really leaves it out on the field every time. You know, he's, he wants to do the best he can for the great group of supporters that we have here. And like, I'm trying to think of all the coaching interview answers.
I think we got him.
And Jake would agree, I think, with Neil's point that I am a great guy.
I don't think anybody agrees to that point.
I definitely do.
Do you, though?
Great guy. Great guy right here. One more thing before we do the announcement. I wanted to throw this in there. I didn't put it in the notes, but it popped up. I saw this afternoon. The first power rankings from USL are out. Have you looked at these yet?
No, because I absolutely hate power rankings.
It's especially silly at the very, you know, beginning of the year when no one's played yet. Rowdy's currently checking in at 11th overall, 5th in the East in terms of power rankings. Louisville, Phoenix, Nashville, Indy, Sacramento, Orange County, OKC. And I was OKC is like my sleeper team, although I don't know how much of a sleeper they really are with the preseason they've been having. OKC is going to be a strong team in the West. I just want to put it out there. You know, they've got DeShawn Brown, right?
DeShawn Brown. Yeah, I mean,
7 goals in 7 preseason games.
Yeah,
so
he scored in preseason for us and then didn't score in the regular season.
I know. Pittsburgh in 8th, Reno 9th, San Antonio 10th, us in 11th with the comments, We said this last year, but the Rowdies look like a talented squad on paper. How it turns out in practice is another thing, but we'll learn something from their trip to Memphis.
No.
Yeah, you kind of can't help but to learn something from a trip to Memphis because it's the first game. Memphis, by the way, checks in at 31st between LA Galaxy 2 and just ahead of Austin Bold FC.
Well, that puts some pressure on us. Now. I mean, how do you know? Like,
it's. I think before they do, like, don't they have like votes on it? I don't think they do it for the first one. Probably, I'm not sure. They don't mention it in here, but I thought they did. Like, they had votes. See, this year it says 2019 USL Championship power rankings compiled each week by staff writers John Arlia and Nicholas Murray. You know, Nick's fighting for us. He's got our back. Check back every Monday during the regular season, see who's hot and who's not. Wasn't this the opening of Social Network?
Was it? I don't know.
Hot or not, as the biggest season in the league's history progresses. All right. We got some news we got to share.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Should we do like a, we don't have like a drum roll sound effect queued up or something?
No, I probably could have. Maybe have looked for that if I thought about it.
So, our typical showtime is Wednesdays at 8 p.m. However, next week, the Rowdies kickoff party is what it's from 6 to 8?
I don't know.
At the Coliseum in St. Pete.
That I do know.
Which means it would be rather difficult to be on air at 8 p.m. if we're like just leaving the kickoff party. So normally like something like that comes up and we'd either do a show like on Tuesday or maybe on Thursday, or I think in one rare case we've recorded an episode and played it later. I don't want to do any of that this time though.
I think we should do it live from the event.
Now there's an idea. We could do a live show broadcast on Radio St. Pete from the kickoff party. So those of you guys, because it's a season ticket holder only event this year. So if you aren't able to go, tune in and listen to us doing our best Statler and Waldorf of commentary about the season kickoff party. Try and grab some players, maybe some coaches, some staff. See if I can get Neil to repeat his assertion that I am a great guy. So you know it wasn't just someone else with a Scottish accent doing it. But yeah, we will be, and we've done some fun live shows in the past. We've done, we had the crossover with Cincinnati, the Cincinnati Soccer Talk guys. What was it? It was last year, wasn't it? It seems like, yeah, it was longer ago.
It was last preseason.
We've done some fun stuff, but this, we're actually going to do a live from the Rowdies event this year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. It'll be fun.
This is going to be fun. So if you're there, first of all, if you've ordered a scarf and you're going to be there from us, then you can get it from me there. If you haven't ordered one yet, it'd be a good chance to do it if you're going to be there Wednesday. Or we can probably sell them day of, or on site or something. We'll figure something out. I guess it'll be pretty obvious who we are if you haven't seen us or met us before. So we'll be the two weirdos talking into microphones during the event. So yeah, this will be interesting.
I'm excited for it. Get some players and just sit down and talk and get ready for the season. Get excited for the home. Well, I mean, a season would have already started. It's going to already have started, but the home game.
Pumped up, yeah, getting pumped up for the home opener. I got to find out what I have to do. Like, who do I need to get in touch with so they can make Poodle say my name at the home game during halftime?
I don't know how that works actually, but just harass Poodle.
Yeah, I'll get in touch with Poodle and find out. So that's their big news, and we're right at 8:59. So I guess we should wrap this up.
Yeah.
Any other things you want to throw out there?
No.
We love you.
Let's give it to Jake. He's been killing it. He's our MVP.
I mean, that's 2 weeks in a row now.
I mean, he's just continually just knocking it out of the park.
So hey, someone's got to earn their keep around here. So shout outs to Jake for the continued excellent content, and also for giving me a chance to eat dinner during the show, not waiting until like 9:30 afterwards and everything else. So I always appreciate that too. If you'd like to support the show on an ongoing basis, first of all, we did our patron, our bonus patron last week. I'm still not entirely sure he knows that he won. I got to send him like the info so he can like log in and hear, you know, like patrons got to hear the Neil audio last night. I got to send him that information so we can do that. We did have a couple new signups. We even had someone who upped their pledge. So I got to update the website and do that. Shout out to you guys, JD and David. Appreciate it. If you'd like to do that, you can go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. I will have the like perks and the goals updated before, I'm trying to get it done before this weekend. So we have it going into the new season. You know what? Well, I guess we don't have to talk about this right now, but we can. No, I'll save it for later. I was going to talk about the bench stuff, but we'll just do that later, or maybe just tweet it. 9 o'clock already. All right, you give us a rating and review wherever you listen to this at, wherever you hear our voices. Be nice. Thank you, as always, to our friends at Wolfface and Radio St. Pete for helping us keep this very local. And thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. That's it for us. We will talk to you next week. Which means we really won't be doing a whole lot of review of the game, I guess. But we'll figure it out.
I'm sure we can.
We'll see you guys at Coliseum, or you can listen to us here afterwards, or during, I guess. Any last words?
Nope.
Stay fresh, cheese bags.
Don't do cocaine. Don't break legs. The Randy Goddard, the Randy Goddard, I get along.